Welcome to Crown Radio Station's Real Talk. I'm your host, Danny B. Get ready to dive deep into candid conversations with your favorite Christian creatives. We'll explore their struggles, how they trusted God through setbacks, and so much more. And stay locked in as we go ball for ball with today's leading Christian hip-hop artists, revealing the inspiration behind their lyrics and their journey. You already know what it is. It's Real Talk, the source for all things Christian creative with your girl, Danny B. Let's go. Talk with Danny B, and guess what, y'all? I got my brother in the building, Derek Minor. How are you doing today, good sir?
What's happening? What's up?
What it do? Well, y'all, let's get straight into the conversation, because I'm gonna share. We're gonna have story time real quick, and but before we get into story time, okay, for those of you who know who Derek Minor is, we know he's the OG in the Christian hip hop game. But to those who may be new to Christian hip hop, could you just share, you know, quickly, if you want to, but you got all the time you need to really share with our listeners, who is Derek Minor?
Yeah, so my name is Derek Minor. I'm a artist, producer. I own a record label called Reflection Music Group. I also own a record label called RMG Amplified, where we take independent artists and we help scale them and help make them. Teach.
So y'all, I gotta tell y'all a quick story
about
me and my
ownership.
Brother in Christ,
so that's
right,
really
here. So your girl had a meeting for Crown Radio Station with your brother. And let me tell you, my grandmother passed away.
That's my elevator pitch.
That's your elevator.
And let's get to the next level on this conversation.
Atlanta traffic is. I was like, I'm gonna make this meeting. Didn't make it. Had to cancel. Had to reschedule. Rescheduled a meeting with my brother. We get in the room, y'all. Whole time, didn't record the whole conversation. We was here having a dang, do you hear me? I was like, God, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? And I was just like, what is really like, because I'm coming across real amateur right now. I'm like, I'm really concerned, right? But, you know, then we go reschedule after that because your sister towed that one up. And then my brother had death in his family right there after. And so here we are today. And so I really wanted to hone into that, because that week, that even the one I was trying to make, and then following what we got together, my grandmother had passed. That was my husband's sixth anniversary of him passing. And I felt overwhelmed. I just kind of was like, I'm going to do what I got to do. I got to arrive, but I don't feel my best. And so I want you to really share just your journey with healing, because I know you shared, you know, your dad passing away, your mother having cancer. We all go through those situations. What has your healing journey looked like? And was there any shift in your relationship with Christ during that time?
Yeah, so, you know, healing is interesting, because I think sometimes we think of healing as a destination. Mm-hmm. And it's really, I feel like it's a journey. It's like, you're constantly healing. Like when you think about your body, your body is constantly, things are dying in your body and things are being reborn.
Right.
Like cells are dying and cells are being reborn all the time.
Right.
I feel like life is very similar. Like we're all in this process of things in our life that are transitioning away as we have things transitioning in. And that was hard for me to grasp, because I had a odd perspective that one day it was just gonna, I never forget, like I was on a tour with Lecrae one day, early on in our career. He said, man, you want paradise on earth. Mm. I didn't understand what he said, but it was, now I'm like, yeah, I think he had an early understanding that things are not gonna be perfect all the time. They're gonna always be in shifting, and they're gonna be in flux all the time. And healing is the ability to manage the shifting.
It's
the ability to manage that well with focus, and manage that with joy. And that's what my journey has been. So, you know, growing up in a house where, you know, my father wasn't really present, because my mom had moved us away, but then also he was kind of in the streets. And my stepdad was in the church, but he had an addict, you know, he's an addict. So he had issues. And then when they both passed away, now I got these fatherhood things that are unresolved, and I don't even have them to help me resolve them. You know what I mean? And then just as you get older, you start losing friends and you
Yeah.
lose whatever. But what I found is that the thing that is consistent, or the thing that has helped me, is been having my faith.
Amen.
Like, me and God, we ain't always I ain't always been the best son. I ain't always
Yeah.
I but I've always tried to run to God with my problems, and I ain't always understood stuff. I
Yeah.
done yelled at the sky screaming like, "God, what's going on?" I think
Right,
everybody has done that before.
absolutely.
But it's been the faith and the consistency and knowing that, like, God is in control
Yeah.
and that he wants the best for us. I think that's something that we forget, is
Yeah.
that he's in control, but he also wants the best for us. And just knowing that has been been helpful in my healing journey. But another thing that's been helpful in my healing journey has been actually the internal work of asking myself, why do I get angry over certain things?
That's
Why do
good.
certain things make me sad? I
Yeah.
even found out that around a certain time of year when my dad passed away, I normally start getting sad. And
Yeah.
it's because it's the trauma of that season. It's
Yes.
such an impactful moment.
Yes.
Whenever that season comes back around, I don't even know why I'm antsy. I'm fussing at the kids. I'm got a bad perspective, and it's because I know that I'm like, okay, I know
Right.
around this time everything's gonna be fine, and it's helped me process that. So that's another thing, is actually doing the internal work. And I feel like some people are good at either or. It's like they do the internal work, but they forget about God, or they throw themselves into the church and they forget about doing the internal work.
No,
I
that's a
think
good one right there.
yeah.
And I think when you brought up just like dealing with the father piece of it, and you have young men, right?
Yeah.
And so how have you as a parent really allowed and made space for them to vocalize healing, to really talk about disappointment and hurt? Because, you know, in the Black community, with our young Black men, we want to raise them up to be tough, to be strong. You know, the world is hard itself. So how
Yeah.
you as a parent just really balance that for them, and especially because you had those traumas prior to.
Yeah, well, this is all new for me. I'm
Yeah.
one of those millennial parents that aren't as strict as my parents.
Yeah.
I literally just had a situation today. My son was having the craziest, or it was yesterday. My son, we had a bad day. But I feel like the path of me opening him to have conversation and to talk about what he feels
Yes.
is going to help him better in the future than me just taking his video game system away and telling him not to talk about it and just go upstairs, right?
Right.
So what I've tried to do is create a situation where I talk to my kids just like me and you talk.
Right.
But at the same, and that has its pros and cons, because sometimes they forget that they talking to daddy.
I'm trying
And
to
I have to be like, look, we
tell
done talking. So then the
That's all.
disciplinarian has to come out.
That's
But
how
I really want to be able to, one, have a relationship with my kids where we do talk, but then two, to train them how to vocalize. And as a parent, that's often hard
Right.
because we really just want them to mind and do what we ask them to do. And
Absolutely.
sometimes them having the ability to speak makes it frustrating for us.
Yeah.
I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it to deal in that tension and that nuance
No, that's
of,
good.
yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it builds up emotional intelligence. I think, you know, us growing up in the church too, because I was talking to somebody the other day just about when my husband passed. I remember we went to a church and we were just, you know, they were sharing about loss. And I was like, oh, this did that. And that Sister May, I don't know her, I don't know this lady, but she was like, he in heaven with God. You need to get over that, girl. You need to move up. Like, and it's that old school approach, you know, to like, you're gonna be all right, be quiet, move along, right? And so it's a beautiful thing that you allow for your kids to open up. And that kind of leads us into like where I know just the other day you kind of posted about one of your friends, and you said everything you want is on the other side of your comfort, right? And just like talking about being a parent out of the box, that's out of our parents' comfort zone, right? Just in general, just being getting out of your comfort zone. How have you, as an artist in Christian hip hop, navigated out of your comfort zone? And then not just as an artist, but as a person.
Yeah, so as an artist, it's my path has been interesting because I've always kind of bucked the system Sometimes it's been good, sometimes it's been bad, but what I desire out of my career is to have one that I don't feel like was just me just doing things strictly for commerce. It's like I want to do things because I care about them and I'm passionate about it. And I don't, I could seriously say that I don't look through my catalog and feel like, oh, I'm just doing all of this for money. Like some stuff is fun experiments that, like I do the, like I'm literally about to drop. I'll put it this way. I have a moniker that's not Derek Minor that is going to have a country album come out pretty soon. And it's a little secret album. And I did it for fun. You know what I mean? It was a fun thing. It's also one of those things that it'll be used on like ESPN and outdoors and all that. But it was fun. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what I've always wanted to do with my career is be able to say, okay, I'm not just a Christian rapper. It's not that I don't think Christian rap is valuable. It's super valuable. I do it. That's where I cut my teeth. That's where I built my whole career. But I also like to make a country album. I like to make alternative music. And I don't, and what I've done is I've created a career that reflects that. And that's not, most marketing people would tell you that's not the best thing to do. They're like, when you find something you're good at and that's working, stick with it. But it's like, I'm like, nah, the comfort, that's not comfortable, or that's not, that is comfortable for me. That's not fun for me. Right. So it's like I gotta do something that matters. And even if that means I might miss out on a little bit of money. The flip side of that, just as a person, I've really been trying to dive into resting because I'm a workaholic. And honestly, resting isn't comfortable for me. It's not. It's which is crazy. But I find a lot of value in producing. And I found out a good friend of mine spoke into my life and said, you have to start finding joy in rest. And that's kind of what's been, and it's been uncomfortable. But I told, this is what I did when he told me that, I gave the keys to my wife. And I told my wife, I said, here's the keys. Whenever you see me getting off the road, just take over. And I told her, I'm like, so if I'm on my phone too much, or if I'm working more than you know I should be working, like it's okay for you to come in and to hold me accountable to resting and having margin. And sometimes you have to let someone else speak into your life and trust them to be able to help you with that. So,
Well, that's good. No, I think that's good. And I think that goes into like the authentic piece of it as well. Because when you think about Christian hip hop and how it's evolved and now it's becoming on bigger, larger platforms, and we have social media too. Because when I was in school, man, all I know is Kirk came out, Kirk Franklin, that is, and my mama and all the church lady was like, this man gotta go. He doing
I doing
Oh,
too
he think this ain't
much.
church, like
I
he ain't a
doing
gospel artist, and it's like Uncle Kurt was doing the bare minimum. You understand me?
Yeah,
I
for
dare not
sure.
show my mom Uncle Kurt now. And again, like my mom is getting used to, because I own my own digital Christian hip hop station, and so she's listening. She's trying to catch up. She's like, well, where God at? Where did Jesus? She's trying to figure it out, right? And so when we think about Christian hip hop, is there a parameter that it has to stay in to be considered Christian hip hop, or what do you think, truthfully?
I think globally with all music genres that no genre has a rule set anymore. Now, I remember hip hop used to be 16 bar verses. And, now you got kids putting out songs that's like a minute and 15 seconds and it's considered hip hop, But in the past, if you'd have gave me anything less than 3:16, like, I'd have been frustrated with you. Like I'd have been like, this ain't hip hop. So I don't think there, I think the better question is what's effective? What is a person's goal and what's effective? And let them operate in that, right? So if the person says, my goal is to win souls for Christ through hip hop, then the question now is, are they being effective at that? But then the next question is, if a person is like, I'm a Christian, and I just want to make people happy with music. That's a different set of goals and a whole different audience. And I think this idea of there's this big conglomerate that's like Christian hip hop, I don't think that even exists for hip hop, pop, rock, country. I think the world is, everything's democratized. Everybody gets to have what they want. So now it's just, are you effective in building the audience for what you want, or are you not effective? So that's my opinion.
I like that. And I think, leaning into that, because you gave some great advice. What any I guess the question would be this: if there's some new walk in faith artists, right, or even seasoned artists who are CHH artists, what advice can you give them for longevity in that music environment? Because you have a lot of new artists that are coming about in Christian hip hop. And I get calls and I'm like, hey, how you do marketing? How you go about this? And I'm like, baby, I do poetry. But I want you to kind of share with like them, on their journey. You kind of already spared into it, but is there anything to add to that to maybe help them see a bigger light in their journey as a new Christian hip hop artist?
That's good. So, I remember I went through a season, and I still do this. I'm really into finance. I'm into day trading. I'm into watching the markets. I just like watching the markets. I like being able to see, man, I could see the price of a company grow over time, right? When I first started, I was like trying to like time every part in the market. If it go up a dollar, I'm trying to, buy it and then trying to sell it going up. And I was just like in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And I lost so much money.
I believe it.
A lot. And then a couple years later, I looked at all the companies I was in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out on. If I'd have just bought one time and just held till now, that I'd have made so much more money. Like it'd have been crazy. And I say the same thing for you as artists. Don't be in a rush. Don't try to have everything now. Like, be okay with investing and getting incremental gains. You might only make 1-2%. And you might only make one fan a day. That's 365 fans in a year, right?
Come on.
When you look up. And then over time, that becomes exponential. Because the way growth works, it's not, okay, you get one and then you get another and then another. Eventually you get one, and then that one turns to two, and then that two turns to four, then that four turns to eight. Usually the growth becomes exponential in that way, and then you get to a certain place to where it booms. And when you see these guys blow up overnight, it's because most of them had years and years of just getting one or two people onto their motion and their wave. So that's why most artists crash out, is they just don't have a plan to be able to grow in that way. That's why I created, on my website, you go to derekminer.com/services. Like, I do consultations with artists. They can grab my time. We get an hour of time, and we sit and talk about how they can grow exponentially. And that's my big thing. It's just like, take your time, build it right, build a solid foundation. You don't want to be the guy that goes viral that doesn't have a system. And then now you're just going viral for no reason.
Reason, and can't even keep it up because that's what you see. A lot of people does show up, and then it's like, okay, y'all remember so-and-so.
Where they go? Yeah. Where they
Where
at?
they at?
We used to
You
call
see
them
them?
one-hit wonders. You know
Hey,
what I'm
they be
saying?
bagging your groceries. You be like, don't I know you? And it's real because they have to go back to reality. Because again, that plan is so big. I know you talked about community, and you're just like saying, hey, go to services, let's talk, so forth. Why is that so important, not only in the Black community, but just in general, for us to have that community and you offering that up? Because you could be like, hey, I'm beyond that.
Man, well, it's because one, I get value by giving back, right? And I get value by in teaching. Everybody's not built that way. I am. I like teaching. I like helping people. But also, when I look at successful people, like, I've had a chance to be around some billionaires. I've had a chance to be around some millionaires, and I had a chance to be around some people with great influence. The consistent thing about all of them is that they, one, give back a lot. That's consistent. Most of
Absolutely.
the guys I know, You may not know they're giving back, but they're giving away to something. They're investing in something. And then two, they have a community. And they're not all the same people. They have a community of people that's a little further than them. They have a community of people that's right where they're at. And then they have a community of people that's a little bit that earlier in the journey. And what that does is that keeps you sharp. And that's the benefit of community. But pride will tell you, I don't need nobody, I'm gonna do it myself. And you may be able to do it yourself, but you won't be able to scale it yourself.
That scaling boy.
That's and scaling is the biggest thing that most people have a problem with. It's not building something. Most people can build something on their own. It's scaling it to the point of profitability is that most people struggle with. You
Yes, no, that's
can't do
good.
that by yourself.
No, that's good. I love it. Well, we're wrapping up. Listen, y'all, your brother dropped some things down on us today. Okay. So share with anybody or share with the listeners, really not anybody, but everybody. I know you talked about the project that you got coming up. Anything else they could check out that you got going on now? And by the way, your emoji with the face on it. Where did that come from? Like, what was the thought process of
The
that?
smiley face,
Yes.
man. Now I have to give credit to my homeboy Garrison. He
Okay.
does my branding, and he was like, "Man, I was telling him about the project," and he was like, "Bro, like you just it's a smiley face, man. Like you're like that's you." And I've been rocking with it ever since. So yeah,
Okay, dope. Yeah,
it's
because
hand drawn. He drew it himself.
did he? Yeah, because I'm telling you, I was telling somebody about you, and I was like, yeah, just when you type in his name, I said, you'll see a smiley face. That's how you know you're on the right track. And they're like, oh, I see it. I see it. I was like, yes, you do. So, any projects that we should be looking out from Derek Biter coming up this year?
Yeah, so I'm working on a mixtape.
Okay.
So I'm working over a couple different tracks. So that's cool. I got multiple projects. Just the main thing, follow me on all the social media platforms, turn on notifications and all that, and let's stay in touch. And yeah, it's love. DerekMiner.com for everything else.
There you go, y'all. Well, we appreciate you for spending time with Crown Radio, my brother. We on the third, fourth conversation, technically. But we thank God for us in full completion. Amen.
Hey,
We
come on.
done. So thank you, brother, for spending some time with Crown Radio. We appreciate you.
Much love, Queen.